WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, here to the College Football Wrap-Up Show, Farewell Edition, here on 90.7 The Capstone. I'm Nicholas Persley, joined, as always, by Adam Hambright and Joe Schatz. How are we doing?
It's kind of a somber episode of the show, I guess. Overall, it's been all right. Finals week is coming up, and, that means that we're almost done, and, overall, but I'm looking forward to getting into this. We have some couple of good topics to discuss here.
Yeah, had a pretty good weekend, pretty good athletics weekend for the university. I went to a few different events. Obviously, we had A-Day that we're going to talk about. Kind of just upset that, this is the last one until, August, so.
Yeah, we got a little bit. I know when we'll be back. We will be back for sure. But for this season, I guess, the first true season of the College Football Wrap-Up Show, this is going to be it. But it's not over yet. We still got a whole hour to get through. First up, we're going to be talking about A-Day. Then we've got a great debate for you in the second segment. And as always, to end off the show, Beef of the Week. Because we couldn't not do it. Beef of the Week is like a permanent segment.
It will be way longer than we'll leave. So.
Anyway, so let's get right into things. Obviously, football's back. Alabama's back. We had A-Day yesterday. The Crimson team defeats the white team 30-21. It was pretty packed out, honestly. Yeah. I was surprised by how many people were there. A ton of people in Tuscaloosa in general.
So I got the largest spring game attendances from this year. Okay. So Alabama had the fourth highest, 58,710. The only ones ahead of them were Ohio State, 75,122, Penn State at 68,000, and Nebraska at 66,045. Nebraska, first year head coach, and a game that they cannot lose. So, people want to come pack it out, I guess. Then following them, you had Tennessee, Oklahoma, Georgia, South Carolina, Clemson, Colorado with Deion's first game there.
See, I would have thought Colorado would have been way higher because I don't know if y'all saw the video like the difference from last year to this year. The Deion effect is real.
Yeah, I'm not sure the actual full capacity for that stadium, but they ended up for the spring game had 47,277 people there.
I would think they had to be pretty close to full. So, it was something else. Anyway, but I felt like the energy was pretty good at A-Day, honestly. In the second half, not so much. A bunch of people dip out, but overall.
Yeah, about your, typical August, September non-conference games where everybody leaves after halftime. So.
For sure. So let's get right into it. If you had to take one thing away from yesterday's game, what would it be? One big takeaway.
I'll go. I think my biggest takeaway, and I don't necessarily want to start us off on a tangent here, but I think my biggest takeaway is just the fact that we still really have no clue who's going to be the quarterback. Even Jermaine Burton got a pass off. Everybody's getting a shot on this team, it seems. Milrow was all right, Simpson was all right, but nobody really, and that could be a part of what they were running, and they didn't want to show too much, so they were a little more conservative, but it didn't seem like we really got any questions answered, at least on that front.
Talking about that, I don't think Nick Saban's ever made a decision after a spring game on who's going to be the starting quarterback. I think he was going to wait till the season anyway. So I'm not really too worried about the quarterback situation. I do think in that Middle Tennessee game, week one, I think that's going to be more of a two quarterback, either one quarter than the other quarter or first half, second half type deal. And then he'll decide after that. For me, looking at this game, I understand it's a spring game and they're playing each other. But I really liked how the defense looked, especially the defensive backs flying all over the place, coming up with some pretty good interceptions, the Earl Little Jr. interception, diving in front of the receiver to make that one. And just, it looks like the defense, at least right now, I know we've complained about the defense many times on the show, but it looked like with the addition of Kevin Steele coming back in, kind of getting an older mindset, like an old school mindset to the defense, to where they are literally flying around the ball. I know, like, defensive players and all the interviews have kind of said, like, oh, we have a new mentality. Like, we're all over the place. Like, we're going to be, you know, going back to one of the elite defenses. And we still don't know yet. We still need to see him play against a different team. But it looked different in this game than what we've been used to.
Yeah, I got that vibe too. I was really impressed by the defense. But the biggest thing I got to say is Justice Haynes,
he is
the real deal. Like, Saban, I'm surprised. I don't know that I've heard Saban really hype up a freshman this much. But, I mean, his comments after the game were basically, to kind of paraphrase, is like, nothing's too big for him. Like, he's going to be a real contributor this season, which is like, I mean, if you're getting high praise from Nick Saban, I mean, I don't know how it gets much better.
Yeah.
You know, we'll kind of dive into the quarterback issue, because I feel like that's what everybody really wants to talk about. That's the biggest question for Alabama coming into the season. Were we super impressed with anybody, shocked by anything that we saw, or have we solved the question even a little bit?
I mean, I don't think I think we're still kind of, I mean, I'll put it this way. Like, when Jalen Milroe walked out on the field, I think, like, I'm not going to say a ton of people might have thought this way, but you might have expected him to, by week one, be the starter. Like, whether or not people maybe wanted to see it, like, he had some experience, obviously started last year against Texas A&M. So I think people might have seen him as maybe the guy they were going to start if it came still to like a coin flip decision. And it was, to me, like, he just kind of looked very similar to how he was against Texas A&M, and kind of what we had heard about him throughout the season. It's like he made a couple nice passes, I will admit, and I believe he threw one kind of to the corner of the end zone somewhere around there and had a really nice touchdown pass, but, you know, still missed the mark a couple of times, didn't really look super polished as a passer. You know, it was 19-37, so maybe statistically not great. But I think, you know, he did show a decent amount on his legs. Whether or not his sacks were counted or his two-hand touch tackles would have actually got him down in a real game situation, I don't know. But, you know, he did run for 65 yards, had a touchdown, had a pretty crazy, like, 40-yard run somewhere in there. So I think, you know, it kind of is what we expect from Milroe, but I just don't think we've answered a lot of the questions, because I don't think Simpson was necessarily better.
Yeah. So with Milroe, he talked about it, 19 of 37. He did have the two interceptions. Now, one of the interceptions was bad. Like, he was in the end zone, getting pressure in his face, throws off his back foot. You know, I think you tweeted about it. It looked like he punted the ball out of there. That one was bad. The second interception, I don't really have a problem with, because that was right at the end of the half. He's just throwing a Hail Mary to the end zone. Caleb Downs comes down with it. Like, it was – you kind of just expect that to happen. Now, Ty Simpson, 12 of 26, one interception. His interception was the Earl Little Jr. diving in front of the receiver, so that one wasn't too bad. So I'm not really worried about, like, the interceptions, at least right now. Like, once we get into, like, actual game situation, if those kept happening. Now, you were talking about would the, you know, sacks, or when Jalen Milroe's running around, would have gotten down. It didn't really look like it, but obviously people are pulling up before they're getting to the quarterback. I was impressed with Ty Simpson's mobility in the game. He kind of showed that he could move around a little bit. I think the biggest thing that was answered was none of the guys on this roster are Bryce Young. They're not going to come in, and they're not going to immediately be getting praise for winning a Heisman or anything like that. I mean, not everybody can come in and immediately be, oh, this is going to be a top five pick in the NFL draft. Now, they did get Eli Holstein in, 3 of 6, one interception. Dylan Lorgan, he 8 of 14. You know, nobody's really separating themselves right now, but I kind of expect that going in. Like, we're not really going to actually see who's going to be the starting quarterback until the season. Now, I think one thing we could look at is with the play of the quarterback right now, and we don't really want to jump to too many conclusions from the spring game, but do we think it's left open for somebody that might come in next year? who might be significantly better than these guys and take over the starting job after they only have it for one season.
Yeah, I definitely think it's possible. To kind of address the quarterback thing, you know, I wrote after the game that we have more questions now than we did heading in. Because I think most people kind of expected Jalen Milroe to kind of get in there and solidify, say, this is my job. You know, he is the only Alabama quarterback on the roster with like significant game experience.
And he used to have some nice passes.
He did.
Yeah, he did. He's the only one with a start.
Especially near in the second half, near the end of the game. But like Ty Simpson and Jalen Milroe both started to kind of heat up. Things got a lot better. Milroe especially looked a lot better at the end of the game. But, I mean, the first couple drives for both were pretty rough. I mean, we're talking early three and outs, you know, just a lot. Not exactly what you want to see if you're an Alabama fan. I don't think that we really answered the question about who the quarterback was. And I'm not going to sit here and say that, you know, your performance in an A-Day game, like, means really anything because, you know, Bryce Young didn't play very well last year in the A-Day game. But then again, there was no question who the starter was going to be. It's not like Bryce Young was going to lose his job because he had a bad A-Day game.
Yeah.
You know, this year we have a serious question. We don't know who the day one starter is going to be. We could be going into day one and you're going to have two quarterbacks playing the first game. They're going to trade series. Like, I could totally see that happening. Nobody was like super impressive. I will say, like you said, Adam, Ty Simpson, like, I didn't know he had wheels. No, I mean, yeah. He had one play where he juked out three or four defenders, and there was a little bit of buzz in the press box. That's what I'll say. But I'm not super impressed with anybody. So I don't know that we have an answer.
Yeah. Are we ready to make predictions for the season, though? Because if you look at some people on, you know, social media websites who said that the quarterback situation is so bad at Alabama that they're going to go 7-5 this season.
Okay, come on. Yeah. Come on, folks. Like, let's be real. Come on. Like, that's not happening. I'll go on the record for that right now. I had somebody tweet at me in the middle of the game and say that Dylan Lonergan was going to be the starter. I would be shocked. Hey, he did look nice. I will say that. Saban specifically said after the game, he said he looked like he had a lot of poise for the position. He was not so thrilled with Eli Holstein after the game when, you know, comparing the kind of the younger quarterbacks, the ones that nobody really expects to have a chance at the starting job. But I don't know.
I will say this is one of the – you know, it hasn't been a while since we've had like an A-Day where just none of the quarterbacks really, you know, like, okay, so like when Bryce comes in, you know, before he was the starter, he still went into an A-Day game and it was like, oh, this guy's going to be good. You know, we've had many years where, you know, there's been that third or fourth string quarterback who comes in, shows that they're really good and then transfers out or eventually becomes a starter. This was seemed like at the first year in a long time where it was like nobody really got in there and like wowed anybody. Like, so a little disappointed on that, but once again, don't overreact. It's a spring game.
What do you mean that we have to overreact?
Alabama's going to be fighting bowl eligibility coming the Iron Bowl.
It's so tough.
They're going to need to win that Jordan Heretic scrape into the Mako Car Care Bowl. That's all I'm saying. But
so, for y'all, who was the most impressive player at A-Day? I know it's not going to be any of the quarterbacks, but who was the most impressive player for y'all? I'll start. I mean, I kind of led with it. Justice Haynes, like, he is very impressive. Like, I think he is going to get a lot of carries this season, like, immediately. I think he's super talented, and he showed that he was one of Crimson's like leading receivers too. So, you know, I think he could be really good this season.
I mean, it's not, I'm not like going to blow anybody away from this one, but he did win like the player of the game for this, but Malachi Moore, you know, senior coming in. I was very surprised he stayed with the program this long. You know, a bunch of people nowadays would have just transferred out, but he came in as a freshman, played really well that freshman year. And then the last two seasons, he really hasn't done a whole lot. I mean, I know we had like Brian Branch and some other guys come in and played really well. That kind of limited his playing time, but you know, he stayed with it. And now going into his senior year, he comes in today, played, you know, really well in this 8A game. I'm trying to pull up his actual stats.
I know he had 3 sacks. I think he had 9 total tackles.
Yeah, 9 total tackles, 3 sacks.
And, I mean, sacks are, like, subjective in an 8A game because you're basically playing two touch with the quarterbacks. But still, I mean, it's impressive.
But, yeah, it was impressive. It was a press performance for him in this game. I'm hoping, you know, that carries over into the actual season and we kind of see, you know, some flashes of what he did look like. And maybe he can be one of those guys that improves his draft stocks. You know, I don't know if he'll be, you know, one of the first round guys that we've had the last couple of years, but I'm really hoping to see some good things from him this season.
And the thing that was impressive about Malachi was that, you know, he played the star in this game and he hadn't been doing that like all spring, really. He like kind of had to slide in there at the last minute because of some transfers. So it was super impressive. And like you said earlier, you know, I really got the sense, you know, hearing him speak after the game that they're with the defense, there's like the, you know, we're getting back to the Alabama standard, and that has been the biggest message so far.
Yeah. I mean, I think my thing, I would go back to the offensive side of the ball. I was pretty impressed with Malik Benson, the receiver. Yep. Came out, 1 touchdown, had 5 catches, 70 yards, made a couple of really good plays. And I think for a receiving room that there's probably just as many questions about the receiving room as there are the quarterback room right now in Alabama, I think for Benson to go out there, have a really good game, kind of, I think, maybe eased some nerves about, you know, yeah, we might not have, you know, the – I don't know if you want to go back, like Devontae Smith, Jameson Williams, John Metchies, but we still have some guys. Like, we still have some very solid players who are going to come in and do a really good job. And I think Benson, to me, just impressed me the most.
Yeah, I think the receiving room is going to be another big question for Alabama this year. And Saban didn't seem too thrilled. He specifically called out that there were way too many drops that happened, which, I mean, obviously could have made some of the quarterbacks look a little bit better. There was a lot of straight up missed throws. But at the same time, there was a decent amount of drops. But I liked Malik Benson, too. I thought he looked really good. Mm-hmm. So I think that's going to do it for our first segment. When we come back, we've got a great debate topic here on 90.7 The Capstan.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Welcome back in, folks, to the College Football Wrap-Up Show, our farewell edition for this season, I guess you would call it. We've got a great debate topic. Nicholas Pursley, Joe Schatz, Adam Hambright here, as always. And Adam came to us, you know, because it's the final week of our show. You know, we want to have a little bit of fun. You know, we got to have some fun with it. So, Adam, how about you go ahead and explain what we're going to be talking about?
Okay, so basically the question on the table is it okay to support more than one college football team? Now, we'll get into, like, what that could mean, but, I mean, realistically, like, on the Alabama campus, we have a lot of out-of-state students who would have grown up as fans of other teams. Now that they're here, should they still go for the team they grew up with and Alabama?
Man, this is such a tough question, and I think that there's a lot of exceptions to the rule, right? So I'll get the obvious one off the table. I think it's absolutely okay to be fine with to be a fan of multiple teams if you went to multiple schools. So, like, even if, you know, this might be a little bit of an exception, but, like, if you transferred from another, like, D1 program, I could say, okay, yeah, you can be a fan of both, because maybe the reason why you transferred, like, I mean, you obviously didn't transfer just because you hate the football team. That would be a truly terrible situation.
That is all I base my college decisions on. No, but like, so for me, you know, coming out of high school, I went to one semester at Jacksonville State before I went to the military. Now I'm back and I'm going to Alabama. I grew up as an Alabama fan. It's been easy for me to be like, yeah, I like Alabama. I like Jacksonville State. Obviously, when we play them in basketball, or we don't play, we haven't played them in football, but we play them in basketball and baseball, these other sports, I go for Alabama. But at the same time, it's like, I want Jacksonville State to do good. Now, they have been, football-wise, in the FCS. This will be their first year in the FBS coming up. They'll be moving into Conference USA. So I guess that could be a little bit more difficult, but, you know, it's not like they're moving into the SEC.
Is there a We Want Bama movement forming? Yeah.
Not that I've heard, but the head coach of Jacksonville State is Rich Rodriguez, who turned down the job that allowed Nick Saban to get it. So we could see something forming. They have played – they are playing South Carolina this year. They have played Auburn before. They played a lot of SEC programs in the past. They have not played Alabama. They actually beat Ole Miss back in like the mid-2000s. It was like a huge like double overtime win. They, like, when I went there, they had it all over their team meeting wall and everything. It was pretty cool. But
yeah.
I mean, I think it's an interesting debate, because, you know, like, I'm not from Alabama. I'm from Maryland. And like, not kind of what you were saying with like how everybody in Alabama, not everybody, obviously there are Auburn fans out there, but like, you know, for the most part, it's you grew up an Alabama fan, and then, you know, for you, like, you went to Jacksonville State, but you were still an Alabama fan. Maryland is a lot in the same, because the University of Maryland, and I guess the Naval Academy, which is kind of different, those are like really the only two schools that have FBS football. There's a lot of like smaller schools in Maryland that have FCS level stuff, but like for me, like the idea of rooting for two teams, and I grew up, interestingly enough, I grew up an Alabama football fan. But so like I would always,
you didn't go for the Terps?
Well, I would pull for Maryland football, like basket, like in other sports besides football, I was a Maryland fan. Like I grew up a Maryland basketball fan, lacrosse, which is really big. I was big into Maryland lacrosse. You know, I went to a couple of Terp baseball games, but like football, it was Alabama, mainly because Maryland sucked.
Yeah.
That's kind of the gist of it. Like they would, like, I'm not rooting for a 5-7 team every year. Like I just can't.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, I've never thought about really rooting like some guy coming into, like, I think you talked about this in the break, like somebody walking around the Alabama campus in like a Texas A&M hoodie. Like that just, I would never do that. So, I mean, it's just, I'm like very, like it's a very interesting debate, and I think in general, like, I'm okay with like support, you know, who you want to, but like if some kid who's a University of Alabama student comes up to me and says War Eagle, like that's wild to me.
Are
like,
those fighting words?
Probably. Yeah, probably. And I mean, like, I think that that's kind of where I would draw the line, would be like with those old, or not old school, but like those rivals. Like I don't think you could be an Alabama and an Auburn fan, even if like you had some weird family tie. Like
growing up in Alabama, you know, you always hear it where it's like, you know, you have to pick Alabama or Auburn, right? And that is true, but then there's like the other schools, which you can be an Alabama fan. Nobody's gonna bat an eye if you're also like, oh, I'm going for UAB this weekend, or I'm going for South Alabama this weekend. But, you know, you're not really gonna see people pulling for both Alabama and Auburn. But now I'm walking around campus, you see everybody. Some people take A&M. I've seen some people in Colorado. You know, I understand like the Colorado things, a bunch of people. Somebody might have been from Colorado, but like with Deion Sanders, it's just like, oh, I want to get some Colorado gear and wear it around. The big thing for, okay, I was talking to a couple of guys. There was actually a few years ago, I don't know the name, but there was like somebody in the Million Dollar Band who wasn't an Alabama fan. And so they were an Auburn fan. And when they would play each other, they would be actively rooting against Alabama while in the band. So it's like, you're supposed to be there representing the school. That's kind of a different take than like what we were supposed to be talking about. But like, obviously, if you are part of an Alabama
like band sport program, I think that's kind of out of line to like be actively rooting against them at the game. But you know.
Yeah, it sounds like a bit of a conflict of interest to me. Yeah. Like I don't know, because the band, like, you know, you can't have like that much impact. But imagine if you were like on the Alabama football team and you were an Auburn fan, that would be a very I would have a problem with that, because that's, I mean, you got a conflict of interest. I also am very annoyed with people who like wear A&M hoodies around here, and I'm from Texas, like, full disclosure, so you know, that was a normal thing for me when I was making my college decision. You know, A&M was a choice. I had like I think I had an A&M hat or something. Once I came to
Alabama, signing day hat they gave to you.
Yeah,
for
yeah,
the
totally,
offer.
Yeah, totally, yeah. You know, when I was all ready to sign my letter of intent, because you know, obviously I was a 5-star recruit, of course.
Yeah.
But when I decided to come to Alabama, like, goodbye A&M hat. Like, I give it to my sister or something. Like, I really don't understand how you can like come here and like proudly wear an A&M sweatshirt around, especially after they beat us. Before that, I would have said like, okay, there's not like really a rivalry there.
Yeah.
Like, let's chill a little bit, but you know, then it becomes a problem, you know.
Now, is it a little bit easier to handle if it's like another conference?
Yes and no. So like, if you're gonna tell me you're like a Clemson fan, that's a problem, right? Because like, that's somebody who's like actually competitive. But if you want to be like, if you want to wear like your Harvard hoodie around, I mean, like, who cares? Because I mean, it's not like Harvard's gonna beat Alabama anytime soon in football. Maybe I'll eat those words.
The Crimson versus the Crimson Tide.
Yeah, that'd exactly. Somebody clip that and send it back to me in a couple of years when that happens. But I think it depends on like how competitive the other team actually is.
I also think it depends on like the person themselves. Like if you are like an absolute obnoxious person, like walking around the Alabama campus, let's say somehow Harvard beats Alabama. If you got your Harvard sweatshirt on and you're like coming up to people, like that's a really big problem. Like, cause then like, I don't think you should be allowed to do it. But you know, I think if you're just kind of like casually, like, you know, maybe if Alabama's on at, you know, if the Alabama's a primetime game and I don't know, maybe you're a big Washington State fan and they're on at 4:00, maybe you watch them and then watch the Alabama game. You're just kind of chill about it. I have no problem with that. It's just, I think part of it kind of has to do with what Nicholas said. Like, you know, like if you're coming around here wearing like a USC hoodie or like some team that could like feasibly.
Are you talking about the University of Southern California or of
either
South
one,
Carolina?
Really. U of SC.
Yeah. U of SC. Yeah. But like, I don't know. I think it's like weird to do that. Like personally, I would never root for like another. Like, I don't even root for like that whole SEC like brotherhood thing. Like, I don't even do that for like bowl season. So I can't imagine rooting for like two schools like that. But you know, I think half of it is the school you choose and the other half is what kind of person you are.
So for me, the only, so with the SEC schools, I'm like you, like I'm not, you know, rooting for every SEC program in their bowl games. There are some that I don't care if they ever win another game, but there is one school I will make an exception that any fan base can root for when they do good, and that is Vanderbilt.
Yeah, yeah, I think that's valid. Like, I would almost put that in like the meme school category of like, that's hilarious if they actually like win games. Like, that's a fun
story.
I'm going
to be honest. When Kansas was playing Arkansas in their bowl game, I was rooting for the Jayhawks. I'm going to be honest. I was right there. You know, like some of those schools, like it's good to see them win.
I will say one thing we have to like distinguish is like, I think it's okay to have rooting interests, right? So like, it's okay to root for another like SEC school when they're playing a game that does not impact your team.
Yeah.
But what's not okay is to like split your, your fandom. Like, yeah. you know the people who like show up to games with like the double jerseys, like the ones that are split right down the middle. That drives me nuts. Huh. The only exception is parents of like active football players on both teams.
Kelsey mom, you know, with the
that's the exception.
Yeah.
But yeah, they I think the thing that made me most upset about it was, you know, you don't really think of people going to Alabama as fans of other schools, you know. And then I'm in the gym one day and there's this guy walking around, he's wearing an Auburn shirt, and I'm just like, I want to beat you up right now. Like, your presence in here is just upsetting me, you know. So it's that was kind of the first time where it was just like, people actually wear other school stuff around here. But, you know.
Yeah, and another thing I'll say is this kind of applies to my original, like, you know, if you went there thing. If you're going to grad school somewhere, that's also fine. I think it's okay.
Yeah, that's fair.
Like, if you're going to wear, like, a, I don't know, what's an example? Like, you're going to wear a Tennessee Law shirt or something. Like, maybe I'm okay with that. We'll see.
I will say. Yeah. So, I have a friend. We graduated high school together. So, they did not. So they're an Alabama fan, right? They went to the University of South Alabama, okay? But then USA. they went to med school at Auburn. So what they did is they had like their little lab coat, but then they had like an Alabama pin that they put on it. But it wasn't like they just had a Crimson lab coat like going in there. So, you know.
That would be crazy.
Okay. Does a school from the same system, does that change the debate? Can you be a UAB fan?
I think.
Yeah.
Can you support both?
I think you can.
Unless we're playing them.
Ooh, yeah.
But, like, I don't have a problem with, like, oh, UAB's playing, you know, LSU. Like, I'm going for UAB, you know. Or, like, oh, yeah. they're in their conference championship game. Like, I want them to win, you know.
Like, I think there is a difference between, like, kind of what you were saying, like, the rooting interest. Like, the people who are like, I root for Alabama 1, and then I root for the team that's playing Auburn 2. Like, those people, like, I have no issues with that. The problem is if you're like, yeah, Auburn plays Tennessee this week, I'm going to watch that game as opposed to the Alabama game or something like that. Because they're like, you know, it's just, I don't know. So, yeah, it's.
I will say, if you had asked me that UAB question last Tuesday night, I would have had a totally different answer because we had just lost to them in baseball in extra innings. So, I would have been a little upset then. But now, I'm over it. Okay. UAB, you're fine. Just don't beat us in any more sports. Okay. We won't have any problems.
What about, I'm trying to think of some more exceptions. What about like a school that only plays basketball, like Gonzaga? Could you be a Gonzaga
fan? But see, Gonzaga is kind of weird because Alabama played Gonzaga.
That's true.
So it's like that one is, but like schools, like basketball schools, I guess that is a little different though. Because I mean, like you can, you know, I don't know, like you could probably root for the Kansas basketball team, you know, with no harm, no foul.
Also,
maybe.
Okay. You know? The other thing I'll put in there. What if you go to Gonzaga? Can you root for a different football team since you don't have one?
I feel like you have to, I guess.
Yeah, you'd have. I feel like you just wouldn't be interested.
Or could you just like hate football? Could that be like your whole thing? Like, I want everybody to lose.
You're just a Seahawks fan.
They're Gonzaga, they're the Seahawks, and then they just want absolute chaos in college football, you know?
Yeah.
See, it's interesting because when you were talking about like the basketball schools, so it's like, I think Wichita State used to have a football team, but now they just have basketball and stuff. And so it's like, Wichita State's cool, but then as soon as they beat us in the NIT one year, I'm like, I absolutely hate Wichita State now. I don't think Creighton has a football team, but then, you know, they beat us in the NCAA tournament back in like 2012. Hate Creighton now. Gonzaga beats us. I'm like, okay, I don't like any of these basketball schools anymore. They all seem to beat them.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that's going to do it for that debate. When we come back, Beef of the Week, as always, for the final time this semester. Don't miss it. You're on 90.7 Capstone.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Back in, ladies and gentlemen, to the final segment this semester of the College Football Wrap-Up Show. I'm almost sad to see it go.
Well, you know,
it's only gonna
I'm upset about this segment, especially. Like, I might have to do my own beef of the week in my daily life.
Can we have it to where, like, the first show when we come back is just the beef of the break?
Yeah, you have to start keeping a list right now, like, in your notes app. Yeah. And, like, yeah, of every beef that you have while
so
we're out there.
July 4th to the 10th, my beef of that week was...
this piece of gum I stepped on.
Yeah.
Also, I think this may be the most time we've ever had to do Beef of the Week. Because usually we're in here and we're like speed running Beef of the Week.
Yeah.
This might be the most time we've ever had.
Which, yeah,
I guess, like, you know, if you're going to get better from show one to the end of the semester, we did that. But
well, we got better at time management.
It's very true.
You know, I think they should just give us more time, but that's just me.
I truly think the interruption incident truly... sped us up.
We should mention too, before we really dive into Beef of the Week, Mr. Adam Hambright was 90.7's Sports Broadcaster of the Year.
Yes. Let's go. A little in studio applause. Golf.
Yeah, no. Thanks, guys.
We have an award on
this
the show.
Officially an award winning show.
Yeah. Well, he's an award winning broadcaster on the
exactly.
show.
So right. I will say that, you know, obviously I do this show almost every week. I filled in on some other shows. I have the XFL USFL podcast that we started like 2 months ago now. And then obviously I did some of the writing. I don't think the writing had anything to do with the actual award, but I really don't know. I didn't even really realize I was nominated for it. It was just kind of like, I'm going to get some food. And then they called my name and I was just like, okay. But yeah, it was an honor, you know, be recognized as Sportscaster of the Year.
Well, I certainly think you earned it.
Yes.
Thanks,
yes.
Guys.
Anyway, so now, you know, I can't let y'all waste all the time for Beef
my
of the
Beef
Week.
My Beef of the Week, the
Come
award
on.
Deciders. I should have been it.
He's getting a promo.
Yeah.
Okay. Who wants to start?
I can start. I'll start. My Beef of the Week, it's actually something you brought up earlier in the show.
Oh, boy.
That I completely, it slipped my mind because I hadn't really been to a game where I'd seen this happen in a long time. People that go to games... and it's mainly I see it in baseball and like the NFL. If you go to a game and wear a jersey of a team that has no relevancy to this game, like whatsoever, I despise you. Like, I just like, it just doesn't make any sense to me. So like a couple of examples I'll bring up because I don't forget these occurrences. I've gone to countless Orioles games over the summer when I'm home. The Orioles are playing, you know, the Tampa Bay Rays. Who do I see a Seattle Mariners jersey? Just some guy strolling around. I'm like, listen, if you like, I get like not everybody, you know, that's at the game is from the area. Not everybody maybe, you know, roots for those teams. I get it. Like, you know, I've been to games where my team isn't necessarily playing. But just like, I don't know, wear like a plain t-shirt, you know, or, you know, just wear something that isn't just some random team out of nowhere, or you know, like
team colors.
Yeah, like team colors. Yeah, like that's the thing. Like
something.
I don't care, to be honest. Like I don't even really care if you wear a hat with like another team on it. Like if that guy was in a Mariners hat, wouldn't really cared, you know, because it's a hat, it's whatever. Maybe you like the style, but like to go out there in a big Seattle jersey, you're just walking around, I'm like, all right, bro, like let's like, why are you here?
Did they also have the home run trident?
No, they did not have the home run trident.
How sharp is the home run trident? That's what I really
I love
want
it.
To know.
Yeah. It's awesome.
One question I got to ask you, though.
Yes.
Is it okay, like, if... because I almost see it as, like, if you're... like, say you're an Alabama fan, right? And you, like, happen to have to go to Texas A&M's campus, you know. God forbid. But let's just say you have to go there. Are you like, you know, repping the Alabama gear just in spite? Like,
so,
is this a similar situation?
So like, well, personally, I would not do that because I want to make it home from Texas A&M alive. But I will say that like I see where you're coming from. Like some people like, you know, like if you're at an Alabama game, like you might see just some random like Auburn jersey, like some guy who just really hates Alabama. And like I would understand if you just don't root for Alabama, but like you don't have to like come in and wear this jersey. I don't know. Like, it's just some weird, like, tick off with me where I'm just like, dude, like, what are you like? And they're always the most obnoxious people. Like, they almost always are. Like, some dude, you know, at the Alabama-Tennessee game is just rocking some, you know, Clemson Tigers jersey, and he's coming up to you like, hey, man, did you remember 2016? And you're like, all right, like, calm down. Like, you don't have to do this. So that's actually like the beef of my life. But
you saved the best for last.
Yeah. On to you guys.
It's really funny that you mentioned that, because I went to, I believe it was 2014, I went to South Carolina and Georgia. In South Carolina, I think one guy was wearing a Clemson jersey like at the game, and like everybody booed him as he was walking up the stairs. It was funny. But yeah. So one, Why would you go to Texas A&M? What would be the occasion?
Yeah, you seem to really want Texas A&M stuff.
Obviously, like, if you're going to watch Alabama in a game, it's going to be okay. But like, you're just going there.
All right, mega spoiler alert. My girlfriend attends Texas A&M.
Dumper.
That's not happening. Whoa, all right.
We're sending. I just want the record to be shown that on one of the first Beef of the Week segments, you mentioned your fiance.
Okay.
So let's. Okay.
I can't believe y'all didn't know this or didn't infer this.
You know,
because I do talk about A&M quite a lot now, mostly out of spite.
Yeah.
Because I also have some of my best friends from high school went to A&M, so I love picking on them because I got so much hate from it. Like when we lost that game.
Yeah.
Like, you don't even know, my phone was blowing up.
Yeah. So what I will say, so his girlfriend goes to Texas A&M. Our first beef of the week, it was my fiance. She went to Colorado to go visit some friends. She wasn't like attending the University of Colorado, but you know, that's far enough away. We might make the exception, but.
Well, I'm glad I have your approval.
my thing.
You can continue to date her.
You know, my thing with it was just like, you know, at least with my fiance, she did not care about college sports until she met me. So now I have completely indoctrinated her into Alabama sports.
Is she like big into Coach Prime?
No. Oh. But anyway, back on topic, beef of the week. My beef of the week, you know, I really didn't have one until last night.
Ooh. A late beef week.
Yeah, it was pretty late. So I also work over at WVUA 23, and it's, you know, I have to be there for the 10 o'clock show, so I have to be there at about 9 o'clock at night. I'm driving down University, and all of a sudden, it's just traffic, just backed up, like all the way almost to my apartment. I'm like, what's going on here? And you know, it was A-Day. I understand football is played. I understand people are going to be out on a Saturday night. That was the worst I've seen the strip. Like, I think it might be worse than any of that I saw it back in the fall. And, you know, we didn't have 100,000 people for the game. You know, 58,000, you know, at the actual game. And it ended at 5. They had time to get out of there. But then I don't know if it was just people didn't, like, police might not have thought it. But as you're driving through, you know, it's just completely packed on the sidewalks that people are having to get in the road to, like, maneuver around people. So then, like, the cars are all backed up. People were parked all in our parking lot for the station. So, like, I was a little bit late. Luckily, everybody else was, too. So it wasn't like I was going to get in trouble. But it was just like, what are we doing? Can we clear the road, please, so I can just get to work?
The strip was a rough scene last night.
Yeah.
You know who I really feel for? DoorDash drivers.
Oh, yeah.
That must have been, like, truly the worst possible scenario for a DoorDash driver to have to pick up an order from on the strip. And obviously, they're building that Whataburger.
It's only going to get worse.
It might be worse than the McFarland Whataburger, like, on launch. I don't even want to know how long it's going to take to get your food.
Yeah. Now, I will say, though, that the good thing about it is that you're going to have the Whataburger, like, the Chipotle's right there. Like, you're going to have other food options there, but, like,
is this the saving grace for the other Whataburgers? Because now people will go to that one because it's close to campus, and now you can get your food faster.
There's competition.
I don't even know, though, because that Whataburger, it's not just, like, slow because of the long lines. The one in McFarland.
Well, they also, like,
they're just slow.
Yeah, I don't. the one on the strip's not going to have a drive through or anything. No. So it's like just going in only. So I don't know if that cuts off all the traffic.
But hopefully
competition is a good thing. That's all I can say.
Yeah.
So my beef of the week. Also, hold on. I got to go back to what we said. I was getting roasted for having a girlfriend that goes to A&M.
Whoa. Okay.
I just think she made a terrible life decision.
Oh my God.
Going to Texas A&M? Yes, I'll back you on that. For the record, she has zero interest in football. Like, has been to one game in her entire
college
career. Texas A&M. Which I roast her for all the time because, like, I mean, even being an Alabama fan, like, the Kyle Field section is something else.
Yeah.
I want to go there.
It's like a cult over there.
It's a cult. It's a cult.
But, like,
no debate.
So it's just to have her, like, not go to those games is actually kind of remarkable.
Yeah, it's truly unfortunate.
I thought they would have, like, pushed her in. I mean,
she did go to that LSU game that was crazy.
Oh, the triple
yes,
over.
That was the one game that she went to. So
it was like
70 yeah. something to whatever. So, in her defense, but yes, truly a shame. My beef of the week, and this is something that's been also building up for forever. I like how we like saved some of our best beef of the weeks for last week, is people who walk in the middle of the sidewalk. This just drives
oh
me
my God.
Insane. Like, I cannot tell you. So there are a ton of people at the university who use a scooter to get around, okay? Because, like, it's not a huge, like, it's very
Nick
walkable,
is one of these guys.
I think I am one of those people, okay? But do you understand, like, how frustrating it is? And even if you're just, like, walking or, like, running or whatever, you understand how frustrating it is to have somebody just, like, headphones in, completely oblivious, walking in the middle of the sidewalk? Like, then you have to try and avoid them. And then it gets even worse. There's people who will, like, wander across the sidewalk. Like, they, like, they're trying to take their sobriety test and they can't, like, stand on the line. Like, they're, like, walking across the sidewalk back and forth.
A scenic viewer.
I feel like you were driving behind me one day.
I've never, like, almost hit somebody, like, on the scooter, but I've come close a handful of times. And this whole problem would be solved if people would just walk on one side. Don't stand in the middle. Don't make me have to, like, go almost in the grass. Like, just pick a side of the sidewalk. Yeah. Is it too much to ask?
It's a both-way sidewalk.
You know what's worse than that, though? When you get a group of people and they just decide to line it up. So, like, especially, like, when I worked security at the zoo, and, like, I'm trying to go from one side to the other, and you got three moms with strollers just lining up the pathway, and I'm like, I can't get around you.
And yeah, and the crazy thing is, I bet, like, you were faster than them, they knew you were faster than them, and they just decided to keep on going.
Yeah, they just
trucking through.
They're just holding up traffic. It's like people who, like, sit in the left lane, even though they're going, like, under the speed limit. It's just incredibly frustrating. But people lining up, that also adds on to my beef of the week, because that just drives me nuts. Like, if you were walking, like, I get it. You know, you want to walk with your friends. Everybody wants to be in the conversation. But come on, like, somebody can walk behind.
Like, I understand. Like, if it gets two people wide, okay. Once it starts getting three wide, that's when it's like, okay, y'all gotta.
Like, there's no way that the fourth person, like the one side, can talk to the other side.
And you
so it's like you can't walk that way.
Like, some of these sidewalks are big enough. You can get two people on one side of the sidewalk, so you can still give a little path for people.
Yeah, and then it gets, like, awkward, right? Like, if you're that third person, like, you're almost like half walking on the grass. Like, I mean, come on, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
It's truly unfortunate.
Although I will say that if the people who are lined up like that are fast walkers, sometimes that's a perfect roadblock. Like, you're going through, like, a stadium or, like, a crowded sidewalk, and you do, like, let's say you got the three moms and strollers just barging through. Like, they're on, like, a speed walk type of trip. You can just slide in right behind them and just ride them to wherever you're going. You know, just ride that wave.
It's like you're catching the draft.
Yeah, exactly. You're like a NASCAR, and you got the car in front of you. You're bump drafting them, you know? So it's just that. sometimes it's a good thing, but I will admit, yes, like, especially if I'm running to class, I'm like,
you're just going
to
cut up the inside and just rock it right
sometimes,
past.
Yeah, sometimes you got to be the NASCAR drifter. Sometimes you got to be the aggressor Dale Earnhardt. Spin him out, take him around, and pass him.
Do it for Dale.
Yeah.
So I guess that's it. Do we have any like parting messages for the semester?
Man.
Get through it.
Yeah, we got like 2 weeks here. Add on beef of the week, maybe. People that give out projects dead week.
Like, did that happen to you?
I'm pretty sure they are specifically not allowed to do that. But I will. So the thing is that I have a couple classes where they're like, all right, it's dead week. Like, here's a big project, but they won't have a final on finals week. And I'm like, okay, I kind of get that. But I have three, or, you know, not this semester, but like in semesters past, I've had like three finals on finals week, like, you know, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Like, I do not want to be worrying about a project on dead week. Like, just schedule it to like have it be due like once, like the last day of finals or whatever. Like, don't make me stress for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
But,
okay, so since we're adding more beefs of the week, I got one. So this is three all in one right here. So like I'm adding on three.
He's
in
got
this
a
one
triple beef okay. of the week.
So you brought up the finals, right? So I only have two finals that are actual like final exams.
Oh, I know where this is going.
Both of them are on the same day. Both of them are on my birthday. Okay.
Oh.
What happens after that? Oh, it's the week. Well, it's a Thursday, Friday, Saturday right after it. Who does Alabama baseball schedule? Vanderbilt. Oh, so I got to watch them play Vanderbilt for 3 days. On top of that, my mom, great woman, finally decided to get her college degree. She technically graduated last semester, but they were like, oh, you're an online student. You have to walk in spring. So now she's like, oh, you have to come to my graduation. What day is that on? On May 5th, one of the days that they're playing Vanderbilt that I want to watch and get pissed off about.
Yeah. Truly unfortunate, but good for her.
Yeah.
Although I will say the exams on the same day, obviously it being your birthday sucks.
Yeah.
But like it's better than having, like, I know somebody who has a Monday and then a Friday exam.
Yeah, that's
so
a
it's
rough.
Like, so you have to take your one exam Monday, sit for three. Like, you can't even, like, I don't even know how much more studying you can do at this point. Like,
you're going to fry your brain.
Yeah, like, just absolutely annihilate your brain for 3 days and then take your exam Friday. That's almost worse.
Yeah, I agree. That's rough. And the worst part is, like, is only having, like, one or two exams, but they're on the very last day of finals week.
Yeah.
That's the worst thing, because then you have to stick around. Like, if you're an out-of-state student, you just kind of have to be here.
Yeah.
I kind of feel bad now. You guys both got, we got like eight beefs of the week. Adam over here is doing three. He's got the triple beef of the week. Y'all both had beefs of the week.
Well,
I feel like I got to have something else. So,
well,
I don't know. My new beef of the week is you two.
Okay.
I'm turning heel. I like it. It's brutal. All jokes. Anyway, I think that's going to do it. Yeah. For this semester, at least. We'll be back next semester.
And football's being played.
Yeah, we're going to be...
We're going to need a three-hour show.
We're going to devote an entire hour to Maction. So,
Nick, you're going to be the new station.
That's what I've always
wanted. You're going to be the new decider. Give us the Mountain West hour followed by the Mac.
Yeah, we're going to spend an entire day doing the college football wrap-up.
Colorado's going to get a whole section.
Oh, like, of course.
Every single week.
I will be the Colorado expert for next year. I won't research any Alabama stuff. I'll just do Colorado.
Yeah, you're specifically forbidden from researching Alabama. Yeah. You have to come in with no knowledge. It's only Colorado.
Only Colorado.
Got it.
And you have to rave about how much you love Dion every single week.
And they're going to the playoff.
Okay.
First year.
Okay, buddy.
And they're going to play Rutgers in the Rose Bowl in 2027.
Yes.
Yeah. But hey, Alabama's going 7-5. So if you listen to certain Oklahoma fans on Twitter.
Yeah.
So that's going to do it. We will see you next semester. Stay tuned. Thank you for listening. Good night, ladies and gentlemen, here from 90.7 Capstone.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.